Hi, how are you? Shh! Quiet! Shh! I don't want anybody to hear this.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Shh, don't say it so loud. Quiet!
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Quiet.
Shh. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, yeah. Grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. At the end of the program today, I'm going to ask you to take a poll right through your radio. It's a poll about polls, whether you think polls are good polls or bad polls, whether there should be a new poll taken on top of the old poll. Do you agree with the old poll more than the new poll? It's a poll question. Do you like polls? Do you like people from Poland? Do you like pole dancing? It's all about polls. I'm going to ask you questions about polls. Shiny polls, as a matter of fact. Have you ever been on a poll? Do you like polls? Have you been to a fire station and seen a fire pole? It's quite something. It's a large pole. Why aren't fighter fires really good at pole dancing? You'd figure they should be. They're on poles more than anybody else, except for strippers. They're always on poles. Not always, actually. Sometimes they're in your lap. That's what the poll will be like later, asking questions about all kinds of poles. Have you ever touched a pole? You ever touched a flagpole when it's really cold outside, below freezing, and your hands, like, stick to them? That's a poll question, huh? Do you know where Poland is? Do you know what countries border Poland? I don't think anybody really cares. Unless you live in Poland. Or you know somebody in Poland. I don't know nobody in Poland. I know Polish people. Very, very nice. But that's my only connection to Poland. So I'm going to ask you poll questions at the end of the show. They'll be based on the knowledge that you have of polls. How are you today, by the way? Are you good? You're looking so nice. Did you wash your hair last night? Because it's shiny and it's beautiful. Okay. That's called small talk, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it cold outside? For the summer, it's pretty cold. Can you imagine a hotter summer than this? Pretty hot enough for you? Is it hot enough for you? I get that asked all the time on really hot days when it's over 90 degrees. People walk around talking about poles. And is it hot enough for you? No. I like it around 140, you know. I like my arms to melt off my body. I think that's more comfortable. That's what I'm waiting for, to be honest with you. Is it hot enough for me? No, this is nothing. This is nothing. Wait till the temperature is 150, 160, then ask me that question, and I might say, well, it's getting close to hot enough for me. But right now, no, it's not hot enough for me. Nothing's hot enough for me. No. Here it's going to rain tomorrow? Wow. Is that the most important thing in your life right now? whether there's going to be moisture in the air tomorrow? Is that going to stop you from doing things? Are you going to go grocery shopping, like to the supermarket 5 miles away? You're going to walk it back and forth and in the rain with an umbrella? Are you going to drive? You got windshield wipers? Yeah, it's going to rain for a little bit tomorrow. What's the deal? Why don't you get on the flood evacuation route and get the hell out of town? Or here it's going to sprinkle tomorrow. Sprinkle? My God, that's it. I might as well cash out right now. I didn't know it was going to sprinkle. Well, that's going to be awful. That's going to be horrible. That's why I don't take a shower. It's like raining. It's too much for me. Is it wet enough for you? I'm going to sprinkle tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Did you hear that? It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Oh, good. That's really kind of... Is that odd to you? Is that news to you? Is that significant to your life somehow? That's going to be a beautiful... You're making small talk is what you do. You're just saying words to fill up the air because it's awkward that we just stand there and don't say anything. Why is it so awkward that human beings can't stand next to each other and not say anything? I'm waiting for the days when you can communicate through your eyes, through your mind, you know. You don't have to say anything. They just know what you're thinking. Actually, that would be horrible. That would be horrible. Oh, excuse me. I take that back. That would be horrible. That would be worse than people talking. Stop reading my mind. Get out of my head. Stop it. Stop it. Say something. Just stop. Stop looking into my mind. How dare you? I never enjoyed the Superman comics, the Superman movies, Superman television shows, because I thought he was just incredibly annoying. He was very invasive, Superman. First of all, he had X-ray vision. He could see you naked. And to be honest with you, I make sure the lights are kind of low when I'm naked. I'm not walking around the neighborhood saying, hey, look at me. This is what I look like naked. Pretty good, huh? You don't do that. Most people are embarrassed about their bodies. Even supermodels, they don't think they look good. If a supermodel doesn't think she looks good or he looks good, then something's really wrong with our body images because they're supposed to be like really something. Now, I didn't care for Superman at all. First of all, guys walking around wearing a cape. I mean, what is up with you, sir? I can see you fighting crime, but does it have to be wearing a cape and stretchy pants? Do you need to wear stretchy pants? What do you call that? That Dacron, nylon, spandex, latex, what do you call that stuff? Do you need to be wearing that? Can you just, like, fight crime in your street clothes and your pajama pants or something? Do you have to wear a cape? I don't know how to compare you to anything when you wear a cape. I know nobody that wears a cape anymore, and unless you're fighting crime, I guess you got to put a cape on. Why don't the police departments have capes? Wouldn't that be a little bit more intimidating? Uh-oh, here comes a cop in a cape. Watch out. Guy's mean. Guy's fighting crime. We better watch out. He's wearing a cape. Uh-oh. Nobody wears a cape anymore. Give me a break. Superman did. Superman wore a cape. X-ray vision. See you naked. That's worse than going through one of those lines at the airport. You want to declare anything? Because I see that I can see you naked. You can't do that. Superman had X-ray vision. Superman could also stop a bullet, which is good for him. It's good for him, otherwise he wouldn't be too effective. He had a lot of superpowers. He could melt things with his eyes. He could stare at them and make the gun that you're holding in order to intimidate him, he could stare at the gun and heat it up with his eyes, and you drop the gun, and then it's all over. That was a very intimidating guy. Never understood Batman. Batman never made any sense to me. I kind of never knew what Batman actually did. Couldn't fly. Superman could fly. That was like, if I could fly, I wouldn't bother fighting crime. I'd just fly around all day, you know? I got to go pick up a banana at the down at the fruit store. Are you going to walk down there? No, I'm going to fly. I'll fly there. I'll be back like in 20 seconds. It's just a short flight. I'll be, as the crow flies, I'll be there. I'll be right back. Batman couldn't fly. Batman had to attach himself to stuff. Spider-Man couldn't fly either. Had to attach himself to stuff. Superman was actually the best one because he could fly. I think that's, which was annoying, though, to the general public when they'd be walking down the street, you know, and all of a sudden there's this poop would fall on their head. What is that, a bird? Oh, no, it's from Superman. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Superman just peed on me. Hello? Can someone arrest him? Can someone catch him in the sky? And he just pooped on my shoulder. Is that right? Can they do that? Is he allowed to do that? He's fighting crime. Give him a break, man. If you were fighting crime and you were flying around, you had a poop, you know, what do you... can he poop over the ocean or something? You know, can he fly over the ocean and poop? Does he have to do it here in the street? Come on, man. Come on, Superman. Give me a break. You know, can wipe your butt with your cape, you know. You got that capability. Get it? Capability. Superman was not impressive to me. Batman, not at all. I didn't get that at all. Batman really couldn't do anything. Catwoman, dressed up like a cat. What else are we talking about here? I mean, is that a superhuman kind of trait? Dressed like a cat? Just go to a Halloween party, you got it down right there. I mean, I don't think Catwoman did anything, but she wore that tight stuff. She didn't have to stop crime. Crime would go, whoa, look at that woman wearing the really tight cat suit. I'm not feeling like crime right now. Let's just watch her walk around a little bit. That was her superpower. A woman in a tight cat suit. I mean, I think even other women would go, oh, whoa, look at that. Look at that. Didn't quite get that. Didn't quite understand any of that stuff at all. I'm not into the superhuman thing. I'm not a Comic-Con kind of guy. I didn't read a lot of comic books when I was a kid. I don't know. I like the Archie comics. Do you remember that? Are you old enough to know what the Archie comic is? I think that's where we have to divide ourselves. If you don't know what an Archie comic is, then I guess we have a little bit of an age difference here. You don't have to be that old. You just have to be aware. There were a group of kids who went to school, and very similar to the television show Saved by the Bell. To me, that was based on the Archie comics. Although, we spoke to Peter Engel, who was the producer. He was on the show about half a year ago, and he said, no, there was no connection between that, between the Archie comic stuff and the Saved by the Bell's no connection. And I kind of find that to be hard to believe, but that's what he said. He was the creator of the thing, so I'm not going to doubt him. I'm not Superman. I have no superpowers, by the way. I used to think I did. When I was a kid, I used to think I had superpowers. I thought I was super intelligent. It was only because everybody who lived around me in my neighborhood was extremely stupid. So I thought I had super intelligence. Superhuman intelligence powers. All the kids are really dumb. Kids are just wandering the streets all day because they couldn't remember where they lived. That's how stupid they were. They're just really stupid people. So I thought I had like super intelligence. And I really thought I could fly if I really put my mind to it. Did you ever do this? Tell me if you ever did this or whether there's something wrong with me. All right, this will help me out. And of course, I can hear you. If you speak loudly toward the speaker from where my voice is coming from there, my voice is coming through the speaker. If you shout back at me, I can hear you. But you have to shout loud enough. And you have to be across the street. Anyway, that's absolutely true, by the way. Here's what I used to think. If you stared, I would sit in a chair, and in front of me would be a coffee table, and on the coffee table would be something like a napkin ring or some solid object, maybe a fork. And I thought that if I stared at the fork hard and long and what did that mean? And I concentrated on the fork. Like, I had locked everything else out of my brain, and I just concentrated on the fork. I became one with the fork, that I could actually make the fork move. Not fly off the table or anything. That would be kind of scary. But just move like an inch or something. Do I have that kind of brain power? And I used to think I do. I used to think I do. But I was never able to, because of outside forces like the telephone ringing or a car going down the street, I would always be distracted and break my man-to-fork connection. Because I believed when I was a kid that the mind was the most powerful thing in the universe. That with our mind, we hadn't discovered all the powers and all the strengths of our minds, of our brains. And I thought the part that I had that wasn't yet discovered was the ability to make things move. Objects. Solid objects. And as a little kid, around 6, 7 years old, I would actually like take 5, 10 minutes out of my life and just stare at these forks and these solid objects and trying to make them move the slightest bit. Will it surprise you to know that I never was able to? But to this day, if I had the time, now I don't have any time to do this, that maybe you can do that. I've never read anybody that was able to do that unless it was a magic act or some kind of magician or, you know, some type of scam artist. No one's really able to make objects move, apparently. But I wanted to be the first one. Maybe objects didn't move because I wasn't wearing a cape. The cape seems to be the magic component that I never tried. Had I been wearing a cape, I might have been able to conjure those special talents that I probably have but don't realize. Wouldn't it be great? Do you still have dreams where you're able to fly? When you can lift yourself off the earth and fly amongst the trees, the beautiful blue sky, fly amongst the clouds. Be careful, one of those clouds has my data in it. Yeah, I was told that all the data from my computer and my smartphone, everything is in a cloud somewhere. No one told me where the cloud is. I don't know which one it is. On a very clear day with big white puffy clouds, I imagine that in one of those clouds is all my data. And that kind of annoys me because I don't know which one it is. And sometimes it's a clear sky and there's no cloud at all. And I'm wondering, where'd my cloud go? Or is it over Poland somewhere and taking a poll? Where's my cloud? Hey, man, where's my cloud? It's confusing. Okay, that's enough.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hey baby, what you gotta say? All you're giving me is fiction. I'm a sorry sucker and this happens all the time. I find out that
everybody talks, does talk, everybody they don't
talks,
shut up.
Everybody talks. It started with a whisper.
Everybody does talk, they just don't be quiet. And that's what I started to talk about at the beginning of the show. I just wish people would be comfortable without talking. But they can't be. They need to say stuff to each other, mindless stuff. Talking is supposed to be communication. You're communicating ideas. You're not filling the air with things because it's empty. You're not obligated to say everything to everybody. Just be quiet sometimes.
Never thought I'd live to see the day when everybody.
Unless you're listening to a show like this, then you let them talk.
Gotta say, it started with a whisper, and that was when I kissed her, and then she made my lips hurt. I could hear the chit chat, take me to your love shack. Mama's always got a back track when everybody talks, babe. Everybody talks, everybody talks, everybody talks, everybody talks.
I think people should stop talking a lot. I can't do the small talk at the cocktail party things. I get invited to a lot of social mixers, cocktail parties. I like the cocktail part of it. The party part of it, I don't. You stand there with a cocktail in your hand. You got to hold the glass, otherwise it's awkward. Where do you put your hands? In your pocket? Nobody knows what you're doing in there. It's better to put it around the glass. And you stand there, and somebody will come up to you. I don't go up to people. I don't think it's right. People come up to me, and they say, "Hi, how are you? Crazy party, huh? Crazy party? What are we? No. See, we got nothing going on. We got nothing going on." That's not conversation. If you want conversation, walk up to me and say, "Hey, how you feeling? You having a good time?" Then I can relate. You're asking me a question about my feelings and my emotions and the way that I am handling this particular situation at this juncture. That's relative. Then I can be honest and say, "This party sucks. What do you do for a living?" "I'm a dentist." "Oh, I went to a dentist once. It was a horrible experience. You people are annoying. You shove your hands in my mouth. You play with my teeth. And then you charge me thousands of dollars and you call me up every 4 months and say, 'Hey, where you been? I'm trying to put my kid through college. Can you please come in so I can clean your teeth and fictitiously say that your fillings are coming out?'" I don't know how to respond to that." I know you don't. Perhaps it's time for you to move on. And that's the conversation I would be having with you. "Hello, my name is Bob." "Hi, Bob. How are you?" "I'm fine. Your name?" "My name is Ron." "Where do you want to go from here, man? What's it now? I know your name. You know my name. What's the difference? What do we accomplish here?"
"Ron, what do you do for a living?"
"I'm a radio talk show host. So now do you want to just walk the other way like most people do because I've told you that I just stand there and talk?"
"No, I think that's very interesting."
Oh, do you? What's my name?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
See, I don't remember names at all. I really don't, because I don't care. I don't. If I cared, I would remember your name. But I don't care. I'm not out to impress you. Why do I care what your name is? That's a label. That's a label that they put on your lapel. Hello, my name is whatever, fill in the blank. It means nothing. You don't even like your name, probably, do you? You wish you were named something else. You had no hand in it. You weren't born. And then they take you out of the womb there and they clean you off. You don't even know where the hell you are. You're not even thinking. You don't have a brain development yet. And you've already got a name. You've been identified. Well, I didn't pick that name. They gave that name to me. They named me after my drunk uncle. What? This name is of no significance to me other than the fact this is how you relate to me by calling me by this particular name, this combination of letters and sounds. I had no hand in this. If this is going to be my name for the rest of my entire life, shouldn't I have a hand in this? Shouldn't I be able to pick out my name? I think everybody should have like a temporary name until they're like 5 or 6 years old. Then when the child is cognizant enough to realize whether they like the name or not, they can change it at that point. You have a 5-year warranty on your name.
My name is Bob. You know what? I don't mind it. You can call me Bob.
Fine. 5 years old, Bob is your choice. We're going to go with Bob. However, if you say, Bob, I don't like it. I'd rather be Reginald. Okay, Reginald, you got it, man. That's it. It's Reginald. 5 years old, he made his decision. It's Reginald for now on. That option should be available to one, shouldn't they? You may like your name only because it's the only thing that you know. It's what people have been calling you for all this time. Wouldn't you rather be called something else? Celebrities do it. Celebrities change their name when they're like in their 20s or something. Because their agent said it would be a lot more poignant to change your name. And they do it. And then they have names that they love, and people call them those names, and they sometimes change their names legally to that. That's nice. That's nice. Like, if your profession is a plumber, wouldn't you rather change your name to Bill Plumber? I'm the plumber. Here's my bill.
Did you pay the plumber?
Why are you asking?
Oh, his name is Bill Plumber, and I don't know if we got the bill from him yet.
Good point. Maybe we should pay him.
Do you have any money?
No.
Maybe we should rob Peter to pay Paul, because we owe Paul all that money.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That's a great point.
We don't use our names enough. I have a friend named Richard. Everybody calls him Rich.
He's not. He's not rich. He's poor. His name should be Poor. Shouldn't be Rich. It's the wrong name for him. He'll never be rich. That's his name, but he'll never be rich to me. He'll be Poor. Because he is poor. Not his fault, necessarily. He's not rich.
Did you ever meet somebody named Rocky?
Got to be a boxer. You can't be anything but.
It's who you are. That's what the name demands that you are. A boxer.
Certain names are great. Prolific, wonderful. Others kind of suck.
I have a 3-letter name. My name is Ron. Hi, how are you? I think it's boring. It's 3 letters. My full name is probably Ronald. I don't remember. I think that's ridiculous. I think three-letter names are kind of boring. They're very pal-like. I don't want to be a pal-like kind of person. I'm not a pal-like kind of guy. I don't want a three-letter name for my first name. I want it to be more complicated. I don't know what I want. I haven't thought it through. Because it doesn't matter, because I'm not going to change my name at this juncture of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show when we talk about head lice. It happens on every program. I kid head lice, but I remember when I was going to school, I was checked for head lice continually every 10 minutes. These little annoying things that actually live in your hair. Now, when I was a kid and I had, I was tested for head lice, I don't think I ever had it. The only hair I really had on my body was on the top of my head. Now I have hair in a lot of places. I've got it down below. I've got it under my arms. I've got a little bit of it in my ears, even. I don't know how the hell it got there. I have a beard. I got hair all over the place. Fortunately, I don't have it on my chest and my back to any great extent. Otherwise, I would be ape-like. But I have a lot of hair. Well, except for the places where I really want a lot of hair, those are not as much hair as I would have liked or had before, if you know what I mean. But the head lice go to the head. They go to the head of the class. So let's talk head lice, shall we? We're going to give you the facts of lice. Wendy L. Wright is an MS, an RN, an APRN, an FNP, FAA. Every letter you can think of, she is one of them.
Absolutely.
What an impressive thing, man. It's like an Army general. Wow.
Oh, that's funny. I'm a family nurse practitioner, so thank you so much for having me on today to talk about head lice.
You're very welcome. I remember back when I was a young child, which is quite some time ago, being checked for head lice by the quote-unquote school nurse. And I've lost touch. Has that become a bit more technologically advanced? Is it still important?
So the screening by school nurses, and I remember that too, Ron, is not really done nearly as much anymore. And the reason is that evidence has shown us that checking kids and lining them all up and looking for head lice actually doesn't reduce the spread of head lice in a school. So it really is not being done nearly like it was when you and I were younger. So we have come a long way in the world of head lice, which is excellent.
Okay, now I know that a survey was done recently about this, and what did that show?
Sure, this survey produced some pretty compelling results. So the first thing I want to talk about is that we surveyed 350 healthcare providers, and 95% of them reported that over-the-counter head lice treatment didn't work. Mm-hmm. As you know, many people will often go to over-the-counter products, and so to hear that healthcare providers are seeing that they're not working is pretty alarming to all of us. Mm-hmm. But the other thing we found was that when we surveyed moms, 70% of 1,000 moms, so 700 moms, reported that they had failed to treat head lice successfully in the past. And because of that, as you can imagine, if it didn't work for you once in your treatment, you're going to be pretty nervous about your child getting head lice again. And this is the perfect time of the year for us to be talking about this. Kids are going back to school.
Yes, and let's just step back for a quick second. What exactly are head lice?
So head lice are parasites, They've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to do is they generally, so they're found on the hair shafts, yes, of individuals, generally school-age kids.
Uh-huh.
In fact, 3 to 6 million school-age kids get head lice every year.
Well.
And they're going to mate and they're going to lay their eggs, and that's how head lice infestations actually occur.
Eww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
It's more of a nuisance than it really is anything else. It really doesn't cause harm other than it's just such an inconvenience for parents, as I'm sure you know.
Well, sure. Why does it not a problem for adults?
Well, I think that by the time we get to people like my age and your age,
yes,
we both realize that we probably shouldn't put our heads next to other people's heads. But you think about who gets head lice. It's really school-age kids, and they're doing sleepovers, and they've got their heads on the pillows of other kids, or they're going away to camp. I think that what's really important for your viewers, for our audience, is to understand that, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about head lice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've partnered today with Arbor Pharmaceuticals,
mm-hmm,
and we've created a website. And this is a tool for our audience today.
Good.
It's called factsoflice.com.
Catchy.
Pretty catchy name, actually.
Yeah.
And I hope that that will give parents some really good information about how to manage head lice and what they should do if, you know, they get that dreaded phone call from the school nurse.
Yeah. Could I see head lice if I looked at my child's head, or is that something else?
I suspect you may be able to see head lice, but I'll tell you, they're really tiny. They are 1 millimeter in size.
Mm.
They're going to be located at the nape of the neck, so at the back of the neck and behind the ears. The problem with head lice is they actually have the ability to change their color depending upon the person's hair. And so they often will blend in. And the other thing about head lice is that they're, you know, they're a millimeter in size. And so parents often get them confused with dandruff or from, you know, products from gels. I tell people, if you're not sure what you're seeing, call your healthcare provider.
Okay.
We are trained in making this diagnosis, and what we can also do is provide parents with the latest evidence-based recommendations and even prescription products that are now available to treat head lice.
All right. So there are ways to treat it, but over-the-counter sometimes doesn't work. You should visit the website or check with your family practitioner to see what the best method is.
Absolutely, because as we heard in this survey, 95% of healthcare providers said that over-the-counter wasn't working.
Yeah.
And again, I've partnered with Arbor Pharmaceuticals today to bring information to our audience about a product called Sclice. Now, this is a prescription product that parents don't always know about, that can be recommended and even prescribed by our healthcare provider. So call your healthcare provider. Don't go out to the internet and search out information.
Yeah.
We have evidence, or we have tools that we can provide parents, and it doesn't have to be nearly as bad as many parents remember from their childhood.
Yeah. Well, spell the name of the medication again.
The medication is called Sclice. That's S-K-L-I-C-E.
Okay.
And they can get additional information at factsoflice.com.
Well, there you go. It's everything you needed to know. Well, thank you so much for your time today. A lot of people have heard about this, but unless it happens to you, I guess you don't much know unless you get a call or something. It's good to know this stuff.
I think that's so true. And thank you, Ron, for giving me the time to bring this timely information to parents.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
You as well. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, my little king and queen. I went to a restaurant recently, and I had to go to the bathroom. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. And usually the bathrooms are labeled men and women. Here it was labeled king and queen. I kept looking for something that was not as prominent, because I'm not a king and ain't no queen. But those are my only two choices, so I guess that I identified more with the king part, and I urinated like a king, I got to tell you right now. I don't know. Just the way it went. What a great way to end the show. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day, if you can. Don't talk so much. I wish you peace.
Join me again tomorrow. I announced that there'd be a poll at the end of this program. I changed my mind.